Welcome back, y'all. We're back in studio, and today I get the honor and privilege of welcoming back one of our former guests, Brian Foster, who is here with us tonight. Brian, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being with me. Last time you were here, we talked about some really real issues.
We did, and thank you so much for having me back. Great to be back again, and yes, we did.
Yes,
we did.
We talked about divorce. We talked about fatherhood. We talked about parenting. Today, we're actually going to go deeper into the topic of fatherhood. And this is a really, really personal, intimate topic for many people for many reasons. So we want to make sure you stay until the very end. So I'm going to start off by reading your bio, Brian, and then we're going to jump into some questions. So Brian Foster is a praise and worship leader. He is ordained teacher of the gospel and an ordained minister of the gospel since the year 2000. He is also a leader and a pastor of Deliverance and Worship Ministries, which is an online ministries where he preaches the gospel, representing and preserving the Christian family and Christian principles. He's also a renowned and distinguished psalmist, but of course, he doesn't really highlight that much.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, thank you for being with me again.
Absolutely, thank you for having me.
Yeah, maybe we'll get you to sing a little bit at the end.
I felt it coming, I knew it. I knew you would say it.
You did it before, so hopefully you'll... Be able to sing for us today again.
Awesome. Like,
inspire some folks. So let's start off, Brian, with the first question. It's on fatherhood. And that is, how has your relationship with your father impacted your perception of fatherhood?
I want to say profoundly. I was blessed, and I am blessed to have had a great father. And he is an individual that led by example.
Yeah.
So if I can say it this way, he showed me everything that I wanted to maintain, but at the same time, he also demonstrated some things that I wanted to change.
Yeah.
His work ethic,
right.
His tenacity, he wasn't going to be stopped as it pertains to making sure that we were accounted for, that that provision was there. He wasn't going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
He was a protector on another level. I guess that's where I get it from.
Wow.
But also in terms of challenging me, the challenge to me was in order for him to accomplish what he did as a father, he didn't have the sort of time that I wish that he had.
Yeah.
There are moments that I wanted to share with him, especially dealing with sports and when I wrestled during my high school years, when I wrestled, I wanted him there.
Right.
It's just another level of strength that you get when you see your father out there.
Yeah.
It's not a myth. It's real.
Right.
And I wanted to share those moments with him, and I know that he wanted to be there, but he was making the sacrifice of working two jobs. He worked two jobs.
Wow.
From when I was seven all the way up until.
Until.
Yeah, until.
Wow.
So it was well over 20 years. He was just working two jobs. So when I was going to see him, it was going to be pretty late. But yet I always felt his presence. I never doubted his love.
Wow. So you definitely, as a black man growing up with a father, that's not a predominant statistic in many communities of color. So consider yourself almost really privileged to grow up with such an amazing father.
Definitely.
Tell us what you believe fatherhood to be in your own words.
Fatherhood. Fatherhood is taking a God-given mantle. It's a God-given mandate and a responsibility to lead your seed, to guide your children.
Right.
In the ways that are right, and coming from a God-centric, Christ-centric perspective, to represent principles, to not leave your seed after you guessing the way, that when a father is present, that a child should never have to guess the way or borrow a way from someone else, not when the father is present, that his impact should be felt through his words and his impact should be felt through his posture.
Wow.
The stance that he takes is a language all by itself.
Mm.
So fathers are necessary for their language, but fathers are also necessary for their posture.
Wow.
So that children will understand how that they should interact with the world based on that example.
Yeah. I love that. I love the way that you depicted that, especially the language part and the importance of a father's words.
Yes.
And I know that you have a 13-year-old son.
I do.
And you can tell us a little bit about that relationship across the trajectory of his life and how that's been for you.
So yeah, it's a relationship with him. His name is Levi. And it was so real. I mean, I knew his name mm-hmm. before the doctor even said what sex it was going to be. I had that sort of connection. I had that sort of relationship with him and always wanted a closeness with him. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, as I was saying before, I wanted to maintain all of the good things I knew I got from my dad.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be more present.
Right.
And I wanted to be and still every day strive to be a coach and a teacher.
Yeah.
Hands-on, mm-hmm. not afraid to deal with topics that I think are uncomfortable even for fathers to deal with.
Yeah.
Not every topic is comfortable to deal with it.
Right.
But the reality is we know our children are going to deal with mm-hmm. the topic regardless as to whether we address it or not.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like that taps into your question, okay, what is fatherhood? Fatherhood, mm-hmm. as I see it, also involves dealing with the hard conversations,
yeah.
the uncomfortable conversations, mm-hmm. and so that your children are not dealing with circumstances and right. topics and conversations without you being present, your presence right. being felt.
What are some of those hard topics that you've had to deal with your son that you feel are really important that parents tend to shy away from, especially dads?
Well, principally family,
yeah.
the family structure. Mm-hmm. And what that's supposed to look like.
Right.
Dealing with what my ideal desire was mm-hmm. that I wanted to share with him as I have. I never wanted to see you every other weekend or right. some days throughout the week.
Right.
That's not what I wanted.
Right.
And dealing with the difficulty of conveying that to him in a way that he can understand.
Yeah.
Where he can actually feel my love and feel my genuine concern.
In your presence and right. your absence.
Correct. My mm-hmm. presence and my absence. Right.
Yeah. If I may interject yeah. there, I've heard stories of people that have grown up with their fathers and they've still felt that absence
right.
with the father in a home. So absence, in a sense, is not necessarily being the absence of your physical presence,
yeah.
but it's the absence of your presence in their life.
Right.
And so what it sounds like you've been doing or structuring for your child is a way to be there while not physically always being there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
that every day he feels the effect of
daily.
Your role in his life.
Daily. I think you tap into something real. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of us speaking on the topic of fatherhood who we knew the father was in the house.
Right.
But all of the wealth that he had in his spirit mm-hmm. within himself was
right.
kept to himself. And maybe because he, as a father, never experienced what it was to actually
right.
have a relationship with his children to
yes.
whereas he would share.
Right.
To many fathers, being a father is, it's all action-based. It's not communication-based.
Mm.
So the actions are the communications.
Wow.
Okay,
right.
well, you know I love you. Don't I go to work every day? Don't I come home every day? Don't I do these things every day?
Right.
But not really understanding that children at times need the sit-down,
mm-hmm.
need the conversation, need to hear you talk as opposed to see you work.
That's so good. Yeah. You know, it brings me into another thought, and that's some fathers may not have the means to provide for their kids. And as a result, I've seen some fathers stay away because
right.
of money.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
What do you say to that? And
I'm
what
saying,
advice would you offer?
I didn't mean to cross you. My
no,
apologies.
Of course. No.
I think the reason I was so eager to respond is I have walked that walk.
Wow.
I have experienced that battle.
Yeah.
That battle, because it is.
Right.
It's a battle. You got two things that usually happen, and I'm sure some fathers out here might agree. If I can say, you have two battles, depending if you're dealing with a situation to whereas I'm divorced.
Right.
So none of your child is no longer with you.
Yeah.
The dynamic is largely affected by what your relationship is with that ex or with
right.
that primary
right.
custodian. So you got two things that affect you.
Mm.
If there's a negative dynamic
right.
between you and the primary parent, mm-hmm. that is, you know, just on the basis of sheer frustration
right.
and that communication, that can be a barrier. That can be a barrier that you're trying to fight through aside from financial struggles.
Wow.
So if you're dealing with the battle of that dynamic and the financial struggle,
right.
you really have to center yourself as a father.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to center yourself. You have to gird up your loins, so to speak, and realize whatever I have to do,
wow.
whatever I have to do, I'm going to do whatever is necessary.
Whatever it takes.
To stay connected to this child. I'm not going to be driven away. Because yeah. that's exactly how it feels. It's shame.
Wow.
When if you're a good father and you've got the right heart, if you're a good father, right. you're going to want to give. Right. You're going to always want to have it.
Right.
So if you don't have it, then you have to deal with the dynamic that's going to beat you down for not having it.
Yeah.
It's not the child that's beating you down.
Right.
Right? It's you beating yourself down.
Right.
And in many situations, it's the primary custodian that's beating you down. But you have to fight through those things because you realize what's most important to that child and what they treasure the most is not what you have in your wallet.
Yeah.
It's what you have in your spirit.
Yeah. And your presence. It's not, you know, and I know a lot of mothers or the primary caregiver put a lot of emphasis on monetary or child support. We know those things are essential.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen in extreme cases where the mother has held the child from seeing their father
right.
because the father didn't necessarily pay child support, which is illegal, by the way.
It is.
A mother shouldn't be holding the kids from seeing their father just
right.
because child support is not paid, because it really does harm the child.
Well, it does.
Yeah.
It harms the child. It confuses the child. But sad to say, it is, I want to say in my own experience, it is almost an inevitability. It is inevitable.
Right.
It is a rarity, especially in this day and time. It's rare, sad to say,
right.
that the child under those circumstances is not used as a tool of manipulation.
Right.
And I would say bright, bold, in caps, and underline.
Yeah.
There are a few things that are more selfish
mm-hmm.
for any parent to do
right.
than to manipulate the dynamic or to use the child as a tool of manipulation. I think regardless as to differences that may exist
right.
between the parents that are separated or divorced, mm-hmm. prioritizing that child and understanding that it took two individuals to make that child
yeah.
and it's going to take the love of both to properly nurture
yeah.
and nourish that child. And
absolutely.
I think that has to be kept at the forefront at all times.
Oh, how do you talked about the sense of fighting through
yeah.
These barriers to having a relationship with your child. How do you do that if you don't know the example? Perhaps you've never had that example as a father. How do you gain the strength to do something you've never seen done?
That is an amazing question. And I have to answer that question as a Bible believer. And one who represents biblical truth, because there's so many people that have not had the example
yeah.
of a father. Mm-hmm. And so for men who want to take that posture, who want to take that stance,
right.
I would encourage men to look at the example of fatherhood as God represents it
yeah.
in Scripture, the sacrifices that fathers were willing to make for their children.
Right.
The principles that are set forth in the Word of God
mm-hmm.
in terms of the posture that a man should take is
right.
what I would encourage men to do. Why? Because not every man has had the example that I had is what I would really say.
Wow. And can you tell us ways that you believe,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps you being a pastor, a minister of the gospel,
right.
ways that the church can really step in and fill in these gap areas where there's so many kids that are not fathered today? How
right.
can the church better support children in a community?
I think really it's I think there are many, many different ways. Two ways that come to mind, I think, to recognize the things that are missing from the lives of children
yeah.
in the absence of the father.
Right.
And to very strategically and intentionally gather the children to nourish them in these areas,
right.
right? So that's focusing on the children. Okay, what is missing from the lives of children when they don't have a father?
Yeah.
Affirmation, support during school events.
Right.
You know, there's something missing in terms of giving them the injection, the impartation,
yeah.
as it pertains to understanding their identity in the world from a healthy means. But then at the same time, and on the other side of that coin, also appealing to fathers.
That's
who have classified themselves as deadbeats, like
that's
they have
so good.
Accepted I am a deadbeat,
self-fulfilling prophecy,
right?
Yeah.
And they know it, and they know that that's what they have been,
right?
And I think many have reached the point of no return.
Mm.
But the way of God and the way of Christ is to reach for that one that's been lost.
Yeah.
That he's the shepherd that left the 99 for the one.
Right.
And so you have this perception that some men have, like, I've been horrible, they don't want nothing to do with me. I would say to men who may find themselves in that circumstance, it is worth dealing with whatever you need to deal with to work your way back into the life of that child. They need you regardless as to how long you've been gone.
Right.
To recognize that as a father, that you do have something to contribute that transcends, again, what you have in your wallet or how much education you have or your pedigree. There's something that you have in your spirit that that child needs. And when you begin to believe that, you begin to work your way back and actually seek the child. Sometimes a child just needs to know that the father was looking for them. Before they've even had a conversation, some children would say, did he ask about me?
Right.
That by itself is powerful. That gives hope and vitality to the child to understand that the one who planted the seed is actually looking for me.
Wow.
Actually is concerned about me.
Yeah. It's so powerful. I'm thinking of so many children that we've worked with at iRaise who are dealing with issues just like this, where they've had fathers that we call deadbeats.
Right.
And there's so many reasons why. There's so many factors that affect that. I could think of one story where the mother was actually pushing the father away. Mm. And she was lying to her child, telling the daughter, he doesn't want anything to do with you. He hates us.
Happens a lot.
He doesn't want a relationship with you, not the child. But she almost manipulated her daughter to believe that the father hated her too. Wow. And so the daughter was dealing with all this rejection, and she actually started hating herself. Because why would I love myself if the person that created me doesn't love me, doesn't see me as worthy?
Wow.
And so she actually wanted to remove her breast. And she was like, she was in middle school, so she had to be about 12 or 13 and just had really bad self-esteem. But the root of the issue was her father.
And the irony and the tragedy of what you just said is the delusion in the mind of that mom was that she was protecting the child.
Yeah.
When in fact, she was exposing that child emotionally to all kinds of trauma.
Yeah.
By lying, by inserting lies.
Yeah.
She called it, she was made to believe that it was protection.
Right.
But it was actually manipulation. It was unhealthy. It was toxic.
Absolutely.
It was toxic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what is your advice for restructuring the family back together? There are so many broken homes, especially in Black communities. The numbers are vast. What's your advice? There are situations where there's co-parenting or there's almost no hope to co-parent. How do we get back to becoming not one unit, but as a collective to raise kids better?
Well, I would say really understanding the importance of the family structure, even if the ideal portrait of family cannot be established. Those who understand the importance of family understand the importance of what I can say I had.
Right.
I had mom, I had dad. It was the trio. It was mom, dad, it was me. Mm-hmm. And like you just said, that was the rarity. That's true. But I think a lot of the restructuring is actually, in fact, a return to a standard that we as individuals have strayed away from. Mm. Because sometimes when you're dealing with the absence of a nutrient, you begin to treat that nutrient that has been endangered and has been rare as if it's not needed. When the reality is you still need that nutrient.
Yeah.
And so I think in society and in our minds that father has been that missing link. And it hasn't been the fault of many moms. It certainly hasn't been the fault of many children. A lot of decisions that fathers have made have put themselves in compromising situations where, again, the integrity, the structural integrity of the family has been damaged.
Mm.
And so now you have the mom, and now you have the child that's learning to live without vitamin F.
Wow.
The father.
Wow.
And so now, so in terms of the restructuring, it's a return to the standard. It's saying, no, we're not going to trick ourselves into believing, regardless as to the magnitude of his buffoonery, because that's what it is.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We're not going to convince ourselves that vitamin F is unimportant.
Yeah.
And we're going to do everything in our power to include, and this is tricky here, mm-hmm. sometimes individuals, and it's tricky, but I'll say it, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes individuals who are behaving themselves as if they don't even want to be included.
Wow.
But doing so in a way that does not emotionally expose the child.
Right.
Because covering the child is an essential part of fatherhood, is one of the main responsibilities of the father.
Right.
And so in the absence of the father, that child doesn't have that covering.
Right.
So while trying to return to that standard where we understand the importance of the father in the family structure,
right.
you want to cover that child, mm-hmm. but you want to create somehow a dialogue where you're conveying to that father who has been wayward and out of place that he is essential and that he needs to return to his post
right.
as fathers should. I hope that answered the question.
That's really good, and it just spirals me into another thought.
Yeah.
What are the major issues that fathers or men are dealing with that are preventing them from properly being a part of their kids' lives? You talked about some of them being in a relationship with the primary caregiver or with the ex, and then others may be not being fathered correctly. Mm. But what are some of the other issues that men are dealing with? I.e., or example, maybe anger issues or maybe other behavior issues or just other mental health issues. Do those exist, or would you say that's prevalent and fathers that tend to be more absent?
Yeah, I would have to agree that those things are definitely prevalent, and you ask a really good question. I would have to say that fathers, there's some get-overs. I'm going to call them get-overs.
Okay.
For one, some fathers need to get over themselves.
Mm. Wow.
That's the first get-over. Get over themselves. Mm. Because in order to be fatherhood, by definition, as God would define it, is self-sacrificial.
Wow.
You can't be a father or a good one. Mm-hmm. You can father a child.
Right.
You can become a parent. You can inject seed, but to play the role and to be a father, you can't do that without being willing to sacrifice. And sometimes the greatest sacrifice is to sacrifice your own feelings, how you may feel in a moment.
Right.
Or how you may feel about your relationship with a mother.
Right.
How you may feel about the disrespect that you may have experienced, or exchanged disrespect.
Right.
But allowing that to mount to a degree that you begin to almost blame the child stay away from the child because
right.
you've almost in your mind made that child synonymous with the parent that you have this hostility towards.
Wow.
So now this child is being affected mm-hmm. and not only affected, they're being neglected. Why?
Wow.
Because you don't want to deal with that. You mm-hmm. don't want to deal with the fight. You don't want to deal with the disrespect. And so you can literally get to a point to where you desensitize yourself
right.
to the need of the one who needs you the most.
Right.
And so there's also dealing with fear.
Yeah.
Outside of the dynamic of the interaction with the mother.
Right.
I think fathers have fears. Mm. Fears of failure. Fears of not being enough.
Wow.
Fears of not having enough. Mm-hmm. How that might make the child feel substantively. Do
right.
I have enough? Do I have what it takes?
Mm-hmm.
Some might even say, they might say, I'm not handy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about football.
Right.
I don't know anything about. In the process of self-examining as a father, I think there is a mindset that looks for all of the things that we don't have.
Wow.
And totally blind to what it is that we do have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it becomes so important to affirm fathers. Fathers
yeah.
need affirmation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Fathers need to be, men need to be reminded as well. Strength is expected of us, but
right.
we are not always strong. And I think what you actually see happens in the family structure is a result and is a manifestation of the fact that we're not always strong. There are
mm-hmm.
things in society, there are things in the family structure that weaken us as men, thereby weakening us as fathers
mm-hmm.
and challenging us and creating a resistance to us actually showing up on post. No matter what, whatever
right.
we feel like we have or don't have, we know if we have nothing else, we've been given a mandate from God himself to
right.
be that to this child that we have created.
That's so powerful.
Yeah.
And a question came to me is, who affirms the father? You talked about the father being the one that affirms and needing the affirmation. But where do they get their affirmation from?
Well, that's, wow. You know, I would say for fathers who are in marital situations, mm-hmm. he sure enough needs his wife right. to be that strength for him. Mm-hmm. He needs her. Right. He really does need her. Mm-hmm. As much as he may want to show strength or feel like it's not allowed for him to show weakness or vulnerability. For right. men, that's very challenging at times. Because yeah. society and culture teaches us that we can't show strength. We can't show weaknesses. God forbid we should cry. Right. Right? But I want to say in the family structure where marriage and covenant is in place, mm-hmm. he 100%, whether he says it or not, mm-hmm. needs the affirmation of his wife.
Wow.
Number one. I'll say number two, mm-hmm. if there is no wife, if it's just him, knowing that he has a child out there that needs him.
Right.
I'm going to say, as the individual that I am, as a Bible-believing, Christ-centric individual, mm-hmm. here's where the church comes in, as I see it.
Right.
That the scripture says that we are to be the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
And if the salt loses its savor, mm-hmm. where is the preservation going to happen? There has right. to be a cry. There has to be an announcement. Not mm-hmm. every once in a blue moon. But a continual announcement to men who will inevitably become fathers. If they haven't, if they're not fathers, mm-hmm. they are likely to become fathers. There has to be a cry,
yeah.
a emphasis has to be placed on the importance.
Right.
On the importance of being in place, of fighting the fight, yeah. fighting that good fight of faith. Mm-hmm. And the manifestation of that as it relates to what we're talking about, just being there for your children. Wow. If you don't say a word, mm-hmm. be present.
Right.
Seek to be present. Right. Allow your presence to speak to that child.
Yeah.
So that they understand what a father's love should look like. Mm-hmm. As I see it, I hope that answers the question.
That answers it and more. And it's so profound, so layered, and just so impactful. I love everything that you said. I wish we had more time to dig into these topics, because as you're speaking, it's just my heart is warmed. And I'm marinating in all your words. It's what's missing. And I'm wondering, have you thought about leading a fatherhood program for fathers that may need that affirmation?
You know what's interesting? Wow. Yeah, I actually have.
Okay.
I actually have. Mm-hmm. I would go as far as to say, if I feel like it's a must. I think it's. Or at this point, as I see it, it's not just a thought. I think it's an inevitability. It must happen, because there's a deficit. There's a deficit.
Yeah.
There's a deficiency, mm-hmm. and it's not just the father as it relates to my own son.
Yeah.
But it's looking at society mm-hmm. and seeing how society is daily impacted by just the absence of one who takes the posture of a father.
Yeah.
What that really means in the lives of children, of boys and girls, and people.
Right.
It's necessary. So, yeah, I thought about it.
I think those that are listening and your followers would probably be really excited if you were to venture on something like that. So definitely keep that in mind and keep us abreast. We'll send you some children over and some fathers over to join that program. We're closing now, and I just want to say thank you so much for being here and for sharing your wealth of information, insight, and wisdom on fatherhood. I'm wondering, in the last minute, can you do two favors for us? One, a word of encouragement to the fathers listening, and two, sing us a little song and close us out.
Oh, my goodness.
One stance.
Well, I would say to my brothers who are fathers, I want to say you are vitally important, more important than you may realize right now. Your life is vital, that you are not an accident. You may have made many mistakes, many missteps. We all have. But don't allow your mistakes and your missteps, your blunders, we've all had them. None of those things eliminate the importance of your life
yeah.
and your spirit and the life of your children. Do not believe the lie. You are more valuable than you could ever know.
Yes.
Fight to be in the lives of your children. And with that, there will be no regrets. No regrets.
That's so good. Fight to be in the lives. As he ponders the one stance that, or that one verse that he'll sing for us. We hope that that encouraged you. So the fathers that are listening, continue fighting, because there's still hope and there is still time, as long as you're living.
That's right.
To change and restore that relationship with your child.
That's right. So, say, all the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Oh, 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 oh. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. 'Cause you're a good father and we love you. Oh, all the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
All right. He's showing off, y'all. That was good.
You were true.
So how can people follow you? You're full of so much creativity, wisdom. You do so much. You do it all. How can people follow you and reach you if they are interested in either booking you for preaching or booking you to sing or booking you to teach? How could they do that?
All right, don't laugh at me, y'all, but I've made it really, really easy on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Brian J. Foster. Brian J. Foster. That's how you'll find me, and you'll see above it, Deliverance and Worship Ministries. You'll see that in the background. Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, you'll find me, Deliverance and Worship.
Excellent. Yeah. So there is a resource for you that we're leaving, Brian J. Foster on Facebook. So reach out to him. He is a pastor online, preaching and teaching the gospel to thousands of people and talking about real issues like fatherhood, parenting, and how to be there for our children. We hope that this podcast, episode was inspiring to you. We want you to do us a favor and share this message out. We believe that it's inspiring and empowering, and we want to make sure it gets to as many people as possible. So we appreciate all of you. Brian, again, thank you for joining me. We're going to have you back on again because we got to go deeper. We got to go deeper into this topic. And fathers, continue to stay encouraged. Mothers, please make it easier for these dads out here because you really do need them. We all, the kids need both of them, you and the father. So continue fighting, fathers. Mothers, be fair. Stay tuned, y'all. We'll be back soon.